returning home to the place I have been before. It's been a long and lovely time. Now I'm turning home to what my heart's been searching for. Never more to roam. I'm turning home.
Greetings and welcome to Turning Home. This is your pastor at Paradise, Rob Ernest from Paradise United Methodist Church in Smithville, Missouri.
We are continuing with our scripture from last week in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. Here is what John writes. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Old blue eyes. The Bambino. Typhoid Mary. Bloody Mary. Wrong Way Corrigan. J-Lo. Old Blood and Guts, Wild Bill Hickok, Scarface, Slick Willie, The Gipper, Honest Abe, Old Hickory, Babyface Nelson, Smokin' Joe, The Rock, Sly. What are all those names have in common, do you think? Nicknames. All nicknames, right? If you were ever on a sports team or ever in grade school, or ever in the military, maybe you had a nickname at one time or another. I see a few folks pointing. A golf buddy of mine used to call me One Iron, and Homer can attest to the fact that I can't hit a one iron, but he called me a one iron because about 50 pounds 40 years ago, I resembled a one iron. Our friend in today's scripture is forever attached to his nickname, Doubting Thomas. Both were really nicknames, as Thomas actually means twin in the original Aramaic. He's also sometimes called Didymus, which is Greek for twin. Apparently, Thomas must have had a twin brother or twin sister somewhere, but that person is not identified in scripture. Some people think that Thomas and Matthew were twins because they are almost always mentioned together in the list of disciples, but we don't know. One thing we do know for sure is that the nickname, Doubting Thomas, stuck, deserved or not. And you know why Thomas is singled out, don't you? It's because Thomas missed church that Sunday night. All the other disciples were there, all the women were there, all their families were there, but for some reason, Thomas couldn't make it to church that Sunday night. And you're saying, "Oh, come on, preacher, we're here. We are the faithful ones. Don't be picking on us. Don't be preaching to the choir this morning." You know, a lot of folks call this Low Sunday because it's usually low in attendance after the record highs of Easter, and because it's a little bit low emotionally after the emotional highs of the resurrection that we talked about last week. But it really shouldn't be that way. When we miss a service, we miss an opportunity that will never, ever present itself again. Did you ever notice that the really good service is the one that you missed? People will say, "Well, you should have been at that service. That was real. That was a good one. You missed that one." That's what happened to Thomas, wasn't it? If you look at the scripture, can you imagine after Thomas missed that one Sunday and coming back to hear, "Hey, Thomas, guess who showed up on Sunday night? The service you missed." You never know what you're going to miss when you don't come to church. That problem you have, that need in your life, that question that's been plaguing you might just be dealt with in one of the services that you didn't make to. God has something special for each of us when we meet here. When we come together to worship with a clean, open heart, we will receive a blessing. Let me tell you about a husband and wife who got up one Sunday morning to go to church like they always did. It was just about time to leave for the service when the wife noticed that her husband had not lifted a finger to get ready to go. She asked him, "Why aren't you getting dressed for church?" He said, "I'm not going." She asked, "Why not?" He said, "Three reasons." He said, "First, the congregation is cold. Second, nobody likes me there. And third, the sermons are boring." Wife replied wisely, "Well, honey, I have three reasons why you should go." She said, "First, the congregation is not cold. Second, there are a couple of people who like you there. And third, you're the pastor. So you need to get dressed and let's go." We have all kinds of reasons and excuses for missing church, don't we? Of course, there are many legitimate reasons for not going to church, but if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time it comes down to this: want to. I just don't want to. We live in days when people's lives are hectic. Their children are busy with sports, other activities. Sometimes God fails to get first place on our itineraries. Sometimes not even second place or third or fourth place. God sometimes might not even make it on our planners unless there's a cancellation. Somebody's drawn a line through where we were supposed to go. And that's a terrible thing because we are always God's first priority. Always. First on God's list. First on God's calendar. We always have been. We always will be. So what took Thomas away from church that day? Don't know for sure. Maybe Thomas Jr. had a ball game. Don't know. Maybe he had to wash and wax the camel. Maybe the chariot races were in town. He had pit passes. We don't know. It's not explained to us. We'll never know, but the possibilities are endless, you know, because these early Christians are humans just like us. They don't always get it right either. Whatever the reason, Thomas is the one who gets singled out. He is the one who becomes the symbol of doubt and unbelief throughout the rest of history. But really, when you think about it, was he much different than any of the others? In our scripture, every witness to the resurrection was slow to believe that Christ had risen. Every single one of them. If you look back in the Gospel of Luke, when the women who encountered the risen Christ at the tomb told the disciples the news, the Bible says that their words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. And then in Mark's recounting, this is in every gospel, Mark's recounting of Mary Magdalene's story, he says, "But when the disciples heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it." Nobody believed it. The whole group was so overcome with grief and disappointment that they couldn't bring themselves to believe. The only reason the 10 believed was because they had seen Jesus for themselves. Thomas was only asking for the same proof that the other ones had seen. They had already received that. And the only reason he was singled out, because he missed church that previous Sunday. And oh, what he missed. First of all, he missed the peace which surpasses all understanding. We don't understand it. Imagine this. The first words out of Jesus' mouth, you look in your scripture, what are they? "Peace be with you." Really? That's not what I would have said. Quite the statement to some people who had denied him and left him to die. Not "shame on you" or "how could you have left me" or "why," but "peace." And he didn't just say it once, but twice. And then he said it a third time a week later when Thomas did finally show up. And this peace is not simply a greeting like we sometimes use when we pass the peace to each other. This peace Christ offers here is the awareness that God's promise has been kept. that the Lord who died for us while we are yet sinners, not were, because we always are, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He says, be at peace in your heart and your soul, because I'm here in life as in death, peace to you. Because I have overcome death, you may always have peace in your life. The gift of peace is the first gift offered to his disciples, and Thomas missed it because he wasn't at church. What else did Thomas miss during that Sunday night service? Well, he missed the power given to all those who gathered there. In verse 22, it says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed into them the power of the Holy Spirit to do God's work, to proclaim the gospel in word and in deed, to exercise discipline among the rest of the believers. Jesus breathed into them the power of the Holy Spirit that they could take the good fight of faith and the good news of the risen Christ to a world filled with challenge and compromise. The same challenges and compromise that our world deals with today. That evening service was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thomas missed it. Finally, Thomas the twin missed the promise. It's implicit, but it is there. The promise of everlasting life. When the other disciples saw the risen Christ, do you think maybe something triggered in his words that he said only three other times that we know of? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Maybe they remembered it then. That's what he said. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Everyone who believes in me will never die. Christ stood before them, showed them the scars of his death, and by their seeing gave them proof of eternal life, and Thomas missed it. He missed it all on that first Easter Sunday service. It was all there. Peace, power, the promise of eternal life. He missed it. But give Thomas some credit. He came back. A week later, he was there. Back in church where he should have been. And who showed up? Jesus did, of course. Fulfilling yet another promise that wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. What did Thomas do? Did he think to ask for any of those things he had missed last Sunday night? The peace, the power, the promise? Nope. Did he stick his fingers in the nail prints or his hand in the spear-pierced side of Jesus as he said he would do? Nope. He didn't think to do that. What he had wanted, physical proof, could not begin to measure up to what Jesus offered. What Jesus always offers. Grace. Jesus offered Thomas grace. Grace which overcame his grief and sorrow. Grace which overcame his fear and regret. Grace which replaced his doubt. Doubting Thomas doubted no more because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? It is. That's why they call it amazing grace. After Pentecost, the Bible never mentions Thomas again. He's not in Scripture anymore. However, history tells us what kind of, they think they know what happened to the twin. Thomas traveled east, preaching the gospel through Persia. Finally wound up in India, where he had a very fruitful ministry. There are several churches in India today that can trace their history back to the time of Thomas. Eventually, the enemies of the Lord took Thomas, killed him with a spear. He was martyred. He died for the Lord that he once doubted. But he doubted no more when he encountered the risen Christ. Neither will we when we open ourselves to all that the risen Christ gives to those who call upon him, who gather in his name and believe in his power and his authority. It's doubtful that doubting Thomas will ever shake the nickname given to him so long ago. It's been there for 2,000 years now. But I have no doubt that he walked out of church that Sunday night convinced of who Jesus was. And we will doubt no more when we also confess, as Thomas did, that Jesus is my Lord and my God. Thanks be to God.
I'm turning home to the place I have been before. It's been a long and lovely time. Now I'm turning home to what my heart's been searching for. Never more to roam, I'm turning home.
Are you looking for a church home? You are certainly welcome at Paradise United Methodist Church in Smithville, Missouri. Join us for in-person worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or online on Facebook Live, YouTube, or from the website at cometoparadise.org. This is Pastor Rob. Looking forward to seeing you. Blessings on your head.